This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey, yo, this is Ali Muhammad, the voice of your choice, and we are in the conversation this week with Felicia Megan Gordon, and we are tackling some tough topics here. We're asking some hard and not so hard questions.
This is where the fuckboys need to tune in.
Get in the conversation.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir Camayo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, you are now in the conversation. This is Ali Muhammad, and as you see, D Lemon is not in. He's shooting the last few episodes of Comedy Knockout. And on my left-hand side, Vladimir Camayo is not here this weekend. So guess what? I'm home alone, holding down the conversation, you know what I'm saying? But I do have guests. My guest today is Felicia Gordon, quintessential New Yorker, very smart girl. She's from the island of unicorns and Black Girl Magic, and she's here to grace us with her presence. Felicia, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Ali?
I'm doing well. but for real, Felicia, she runs a site called Those People. And, you know, she's going to tell us a little bit about that right now to get it started so y'all catch up on things she's into.
Okay. We launched Those People in 2015. It used to be called Culture Club. It's on a platform called Medium. And it's basically a site where people tell their stories. Those people tell their stories. Pretty much everyone writing for us is Black, and that is the perspective from which we tell all of our stories. We stopped publishing not too long ago, but we're ramping up again in September, so please come check us out. And I'm excited to start it up again.
So with the refresh, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, what are you guys going to do different than what you've been doing?
You're going to see audio, visuals, video, not just the written word. So hopefully it'll be more dynamic for everybody.
Oh, video, huh? I'll let you boy. You know what I'm saying?
I will. Don't worry.
Let's get some collaboration going.
Don't worry.
No doubt. So Those People is ramping back up. So,
yep.
You know, how did you get started with it? I know with Culture Club, you came out with that and you were doing, it was not just the words, it was, you know what I'm saying, some creative endeavors that you had going with it.
It was actually kind of by mistake. I was never a writer, but I became a writer in 2013 because the internet needs content, and I had friends who thought I could do it, and I'd always been kind of in the publishing world. In fact, we met at a little magazine called Vibe.
Yeah, little magazine, Vibe. You know, Felicia was there. She's an alumni. You know, everybody knows D Lemon, me and D Lemon from Vibe. So, Bevy, who came on the show.
Yeah.
You know, so, a lot of Vibe alumni here.
So, I have a little history with publishing. However, I had never really engaged with the internet in that way. So, I was a little terrified of putting myself out there, what the reaction would be, kind of, you know, putting my thoughts and my life out there for the first time. And I did it. I started writing for Medium initially.
Right.
And then they said, well, can you just start writing about one thing? And I said, okay, well, I actually, the thing that interests me most is race and class are the two things that interest me most.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing only about that. Then they said, well, can you just invite a whole bunch of other people to write about that? So that began Culture Club, and that's how it started. Every step of the way, I had no idea what I was doing. Thank God I had amazing writers and support, and I tried to do the best that I could and tried to be fair to everyone and try to encourage everybody and be open. And it eventually developed into Those People, which had a ton of success. It happened to coincide with all of the kind of atrocities that are happening in America right now.
Right.
That's really, unfortunately, what blew the magazine up. I mean, we just happened to be focusing on subject matter that became extremely, extremely relevant. It's always relevant to me, but right. it became extremely relevant to everybody else. And so here we are.
No doubt. No doubt.
3 years later.
3 years later. Mm-hmm. And then you have a partner with those people. Or did you have a partner or not no more?
So my co-founder was Dexter Thomas. He, a lot of people know who he is based on his writing career in general. He's incredible. I was lucky enough that he was one of my early writers at Culture Club. And then he wanted to start the new iteration with me, which was fantastic. Unfortunately, he got an incredible job at the LA Times simultaneously. Right. So
I think we talked about that on the conversation before. He became the guy for the LA Times who covered Black Twitter.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So we talked.
So about yeah. So Dexter Thomas left those people, and but he still remains a friend to those people, and I now run it with John Lee Fisher, who's an incredible filmmaker, photographer, and writer.
Dope.
Yeah, he's on the West Coast.
That's what's up.
Both of them are, in fact.
You're from New York, though, right?
I am. I'm from the Upper West Side, just 10 blocks up from here.
Like a real New Yorker.
I am a real New Yorker. There are fewer and fewer of us here these days, unfortunately, for me.
No doubt.
I feel like a little bit of an alien. You know?
Well, you know, hey, change is change.
Yeah. You know. I mean, I moved further uptown. I love where I live now, which is Harlem. I've always loved Harlem, but I really, really love Harlem.
You doing a lot of documenting of Harlem on your Instagram and such?
I am. So I'm actually starting a new photography project. I just completed probably a year ago my first one. I'm starting my second one that solely focuses on Harlem and the stories of the people who have lived there and made it what it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when can we look
and
for
I,
that?
I got a lot of support for it, so that's kind of nice too. we can look, yeah. You can look for it starting. I'll definitely be starting on social media starting September, mid September.
Okay.
And we'll go through 2017.
And so. What's it called?
Harlem is here.
Harlem is here. Look for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So this weekend was kind of like a big black New York weekend. You had Afropunk in town.
It was.
Spike Lee did his block party, and we had the VMAs. So it was a lot of people in town, a lot of running around. I know you weren't really here. You were just coming back in town.
I was, so I missed all the black stuff.
Yeah, you missed all the black stuff. Did you catch any of the VMAs?
I did. I watched the clips because I saw my social media blowing up about it, particularly about Kanye West video. And so I definitely watched that. I watched pretty much all of the relevant stuff. So
what'd you think about that? I mean, Teyana Taylor kind of blew the internet up.
So this is what I think about that. Her body is incredible, obviously. It's always been incredible. If you followed her career, you know that Teyana Taylor has a beautiful body and I think a beautiful face, which no one really mentions, interestingly enough.
Right.
She's from Harlem, right?
Don't ask me.
I think she is. Anyway, what I think about that is what happened to her career? So everyone's talking about her body. This is a woman who's been in the music business for years right. and years and years. This is a woman that has had a career in the business for how long? When did she start?
Well, was she still dropping music lately?
I mean, she has. I have to assume that she has tried. I have to assume that she's not, that her career is not based on being Kanye's dancer in his music video.
Well, usually Chris would do that research for us, but he just left the building.
So, but my point is just that everyone's talking about her body, and yet she's been in the music industry for many years.
And I think maybe I think that was the point.
What?
That Kanye put her front and center in a situation where he knew it was going to be a lot of eyeballs, a lot of career changing moments as he came out to make that bitch famous on the same stage where he made, he claims to make Taylor Swift famous. And he was going to put Teyana Taylor front and center on his new video. Maybe that was the point. I think, wasn't she? She wasn't signed to him, was she? Was she good music or she was with Pharrell? No.
I believe initially she was with Pharrell. I'm not sure what she's doing now.
Right. So maybe that was the point. Maybe he was like, you know, I'm going to blow up.
So you believe that this is leading to a relaunch of her career?
I mean, it very well could. I mean, if she drops something tomorrow, she got a lot of eyeballs and a lot of people who know her name now.
So do you think that this has reignited an interest in, like, in what she actually has to give as a singer or rapper? Or you think that this is just everyone's talking about I'm hitting the gym, I want her body, but no one's really talking about her music, to
no,
be honest with you?
They aren't talking about her music, but this is an opportunity for her to take the conversation in a direction that she can take it in.
Well, last I saw on Twitter, she and Kim were talking about going to the gym together.
Well, then maybe she's launching a gym line or something.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I have no problem with the video at all. She's beautiful. It's extremely interesting to watch because mm-hmm. just the lines and the as an artist and as someone who creates images, I think the imagery is fantastic. What concerns me is that someone who has had a pretty lengthy career in the music business, while she hasn't been as huge as everyone had expected or hoped,
right.
has been basically reduced to like the fifth iteration of Flashdance. You know, I mean, it's. I hope that it leads to something empowering. I'm not right. sure that it will.
And see, that's interesting because usually in the conversation is three dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have been ranting and raving about, you know, her six pack and, you know, the various moments in the video.
Right.
Until her husband showed up. And then, and so it's very interesting to have, you know, a woman's point of view on it because we don't usually have that. So thank you for you know what I'm saying, for joining in and giving us another side of the story. But I do think, you know what I'm saying, I still believe that if she wanted to go in the way of music, I think she has enough engagement and eyeballs to kind of take it down.
Okay, I wonder if we want that from her at this point, or if we just want workout tapes, or if we just want
would you listen
more
to
nudity.
Is she dropped?
Absolutely. I thought she was great. I always thought she was great. So this, I mean, Kanye's been entirely consistent here, right?
Mm-hmm.
His wife's career is what it is, and I kudos to her, seriously, and I mean that genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
But it is always about objectifying women, and whether she makes money off of it or not, the root is and the beginning will be this video. It will be based on her body yet again.
Kanye
so it's,
made another one famous.
Right. I don't think that he made Taylor Swift famous, but
I'm just saying by his claims.
Right. So the question I guess I have is, can we have careers that are based off of something other than selling our bodies and sex? I mean, it's as cliche and as kind of hackneyed as that topic is.
We can.
Is this where we always have to start?
Nope. But there will always be an element that can start there.
I just wish he could start a conversation that didn't begin with that when it concerns women. That's all.
Who, him?
Kanye West.
I mean, I think that's... He's in that lane. That's where he is. You know what I mean? He's proven time and time again that's what he's about. And as far as any of the women that he's brought in, Amber Rose or, you know, and have claimed to make famous, he took it down that road and it worked.
Okay.
So for his purposes, that is a successful strategy. He's in the house of Kardashian. Who has used that formula time and time and time and time again, all the way down to newly Black China right now, who's on the cover of paper, pregnant and naked.
Okay, so that's the model that we're going with.
I'm not going with it. I'm just saying that's the West, the Kardashian West model.
But it's detrimental because there really isn't a huge competing narrative. That's what's hard.
I think there's a huge competing narrative. You know what I'm saying? Not coming from men, but I think right now, I always say that right now, it feels like Black women are having the renaissance that Black men had in the 80s and 90s with hip hop, with the imagery, let's say a Shonda Rhimes playing Russell Simmons, you know, and providing roles and creating roles and writing roles for black women, what Ava DuVernay is doing, you know, coming up under that Issa Rae. It's not in music, but it's in film and television, and I think that it's having a big impact. The whole Black Girl Magic movement is a thing that I see that's not going away. It seems to be rising.
What troubles me is that the Kim Kardashian and Amber Rose, and I actually would like to take Amber Rose out of it in a way, but the the Kim Kardashian model seems to be affecting our on-the-ground relationships more than the Ava DuVernay or the Shonda Rhimes models. That's okay. My issue.
As far as what?
As far as you better have long hair, a big butt, a tiny waist, and make your own money. And if you don't, you're not really valuable. And by the way, you probably shouldn't be black either.
And if you are, you better be light-skinned.
Something, you know, like...
yellow bone.
Yeah, or your hair better be straight or a little bit curly or, you know, some, you know, a little wavy and that kind of thing.
So you don't think the natural movement is making any traction?
I think it's making traction for other women, and that's wonderful.
For other women?
In other words, I think that it's empowering women among ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's really translating to our relationships. Like, for example, there's this wonderful woman who started this thing called Black Girl Magic. Mm-hmm. And I love her. She started a Facebook group that is solely for the purpose of exposing men who basically throw dick pics at women inappropriately. Like, literally, hey, how are you? Okay. Let me just show you my dick.
So they have a group.
So they expose the...
Just women in this group?
I'm not sure if men are in the group too.
Okay.
But it's kind of a wonderful closed Facebook group that I joined. But I'm saying she started this group called Black Girl Magic. These are women who kind of embody that whole thing and that ethos. Mm-hmm. And they're getting random dick pics thrown at them and really awful, horrible texts as well that follow up when they say, why did you send that to me? I didn't ask you for it. I'm not interested in it. Mm-hmm. I thought you were a photographer. I thought we had a mutual interest. I have a boyfriend. I'm really like not interested in that at all.
Right.
So I guess my point is I don't think that ethos is really translating across. This is not a Tribe Called Quest moment where we're doing the black love, you know, natural hair, beads thing. There's something else happening.
Well, even Tribe was, you know, very, very, it wasn't widespread as it could have been, you know, because while Tribe was there, you had Luke, you know, I'm from Miami, you had Luke and you had the whole Down South booty base movement that ran at the same time as Tribe, at the same time as, you know, Jungle Brothers and all that stuff. So you had these narratives, and the thing about that time versus now is that it seems that you had a diverse narrative. You know, you could go listen to Luke for two songs, you know what I mean, in the club, mm-hmm. and then they'll switch to something else. And
yes.
it might have a message. Then they might go to West Coast and they might shoot him up for a minute. But then En Vogue will come on. And then you put on a slow jam and then you go slow jam and then the reggae will come on.
There was a balance. And I feel like that's missing now.
And I think a little bit that at least the other side is actually coming in with imagery and coming with it. It's not as one-sided as it was maybe 5 years ago when it was just Lil Wayne, I want a yellow bone, you know what I'm saying, da-da-da-da-da, filet mignon.
Okay.
So I think...
Who are the men that are kind of promoting these wonderful relationships?
The Jenna? I'm just playing.
This is my point. Kanye had a moment. And I guess, you know, Teyana Taylor was there with her husband or whatever, but he had a moment to do something different and he didn't do it.
Oh, no. Nah. We're not going to wait on Kanye to do nothing different.
Okay.
Not different in that way. Maybe different for his purposes, but not different in a way of, I wouldn't trust Kanye with the imagery of black women.
Okay.
and I'm a man.
So who are we trusting from the male perspective? I don't think it's on the women. I think it's on the men.
On the men.
It's sort of like when someone asks me, why are you single? I'm like, why don't you go ask your friends why I'm single? Why don't you engage them when they're talking crazy in the privacy of your own homes? Because I know it happens. Why don't, you know, that's not a question for me. That's a question for you.
For me.
For you and your friends. Yes.
Why we talk crazy? I don't talk crazy.
I'm just saying, I'm sure you hear it, though.
I know.
I'm sure,
yeah, you definitely hear it.
You know, I'm sure you hear it. So you know why. You know, so it's to kind of, and they have this thing called, that I'm just now aware of, which is, I'm embarrassed to say, but gaslighting, where it's about this notion that women are always the crazy ones when we object to a situation that is inherently messed up, right?
Right.
And in general, I feel like the focus is always on us to explain why something is the way that it is, as opposed to, you know, on the men. Like, you guys should actually be telling us why it is. And so one of my really close friends actually just started asking, she started pulling feelers out. She mm-hmm. said, I'm going to start asking men why this whole phenomenon is going down. Like, why are y'all like this? And so she just started, interestingly enough, across the board, the one thing that they all had in common when she asked the question of, like, why, she focused on sex. Where, mm-hmm. when did you first learn all you, not all you knew, but when did you first learn about sex, or how did you first learn about sex?
Uh-huh.
And she said, across the board, it was porn. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really interesting place to start. There were a couple of exceptions.
Which age range was she hitting with that question?
So she was really trying to get at the millennials, but I'm not sure mm-hmm. that she necessarily, she got out of range right. in the end. But they're youngish, so like 30s, okay. early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. Is that right for the millennial?
I guess.
I don't know. Anyway,
I didn't learn sex from porn. Okay. I guess back then you had to have a VHS tape. And, you know, it's very hard to bring a stack of contraband in your parents' house.
Well, they said from their parents' collection. So, like, their uncles or their parents, their fathers or whatever.
Yeah, my
whatever.
Dad ain't had that. And you learn theory. Like, for me, if you ask me that question, I learned theory from my uncles, you know what I'm saying, just in the ether. And in sixth grade, Willie Barr stuck it in the hole.
He was. What does that mean?
Willie Barr was the first one we ever, as a group of kids, knew. It was a whole thing that Willie Barr stuck it in the hole. Like, so he actually put it in. And we was like, wow, that's revolutionary. And that was our first, you know, concept of doing it. And, you know, Willie Barr was kind of like, he was like one of the bad boys, one of the super cool kids that was, you know, fighting and rough and tumble.
Okay.
And he had all of the cute girls. So that's the first image you have is, okay, the guys who get the girls.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But when it came to actually when you actually got the clinical learning mm-hmm. of the actual act, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, me myself personally, I felt that everything that I heard didn't match up to what was actually going on, and I kind of got lucky because the girl who I was with kind of molded me in a way, of this is the goal of this whole thing.
Now, what we found was the people that she felt were the probably the most normal in general, that she'd had the most pleasant interactions with,
mm-hmm.
Just in general, not necessarily in sexual or romantic, in a romantic way. That was their first experience. So it was really specific to the women that they had been with.
You say.
Now, people that she expected to be somewhat disordered in their relationships said porn for the most part. And that's interesting tying in with Kanye and Kim in that. That sort of like, yes. you know, quasi porn, right. And if that's our model going forward,
and it's tough for somebody like a rapper per se, unless he's very conscious of what he's doing and where he's going with it, to kind of tell their stories from their bubble, Like, so if, say if you got Kanye, you got Drake, and you got Wayne, and they spending their life on the road, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning at the strip club, tell Malia we on the way. That's a whole, that's not even regular life. That's not life that everybody's living. You know what I'm saying?
And this is the thing, I don't fault them for it. I think it's interesting. I think their relationship seems genuine to me. I have no idea, but all good.
Right.
My point is that that's what people are modeling themselves after. Like the, let's not even do Kanye. Let's talk about like Ian Connor. you know what I mean? Like this man who's allegedly going around raping women.
Right.
And we can talk about the whole Nat Turner thing as well if you want to. But people are calling him dad. And I know that's like internet slang or whatever, but it's also a serious issue. So right. You're modeling yourself off of this man who has completely disordered relationships with women. He's very like upfront about this.
And then he's allegedly carrying the virus.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't like to kind of demonize men for, or even women for having STDs or whatever, but because it happens.
No doubt.
Happens to all of us. But rape is not something that I'm down with under any circumstances whatsoever. So it does trouble me that these people, these internet fuckboys, for lack of a better term, are serving as the model for these kids, for the cool kids.
Right.
You know?
I mean,
and it's not inconsistent with their peer, their elders, actually, the people that they then look up to.
No doubt. I find it, because I don't know a lot of Ian Connors, you know what I'm saying, in real life. You know, I have a 16-year-old son, and none of his friends are Ian Connors, or I don't know if anyone at his whole school is like a internet type of, or a rapper that has a fan base and is living a fan style of life. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think everyday kids are necessarily doing those things per se. I do know that they see them and they are that enters the conversation, that enters the culture at certain places, but I don't think it's as prevalent outside of the cool bubble or the entertainment bubble.
Hmm. And you don't think entertainment is kind of hegemonic in a way, like that even the good kids and the solid kids are influenced by?
No, I understand that mm-hmm. They are influenced in certain ways. But like, say, in the crack era, right? And crack era Miami, when you talk about drug dealers and the influence they had, it was way just super prevalent as far as you could see it from the block all the way into the school, into parents' homes who were solid parents, who now the cats is sitting on their porch selling crack. Like, you could actually see how they were affecting everything around us. And I don't think it's as pervasive as that.
I'd like to submit to you that among me and my friends, it's mm-hmm. as pervasive as that.
Wow. y'all the cool people.
So it might be quiet. I think women tend to talk among ourselves if mm-hmm. we talk at all about things like that, because there's a lot of shame that goes along with being single, or shame with not like getting the ring, mm-hmm. shame with being the side chick to the girl with the Becky with the, you know, what is it?
Becky with the good hair?
Yeah, it's shame to being the side chick to the Becky with the good hair when you thought you were just as dope as the next chick,
right,
but you're
right,
not
right.
Because maybe your hair is nappier. You know what I
right.
mean? And so you play the side chick because that's all you're going to get. Like, you may not be hearing those stories, but the stories are there.
I mean, those stories have been around.
Right, but I think the dynamic has changed to a degree, specifically as it relates to Black women.
Right.
And those are the women that I interact mostly with. So those are the stories that I hear. And it's a serious issue. It's not, it's prevalent. It really is. It is pervasive.
So when you're out in the world and mm-hmm. you're talking about men of this generation. Like, what are the types of things that we're talking about? What are the types of things we're seeing? Because I'm not in the streets. So, you know what I'm saying? you may be able to enlighten me a little better on who are these guys that we're dealing with.
Oh, they can be anyone. They can be anyone from the dude that graduated from Harvard and has the banking job and the...
And what is it? What is the disturbing trend here with that guy or any guy? What are some of the disturbing...
I'll tell you a personal story. And maybe that this is the opposite of a trend. It's anecdotal, but the group of guys that I went to college with, for example, formed this crew, basically, or a subset of the group of guys I went to college. It's not all of the guys I went to college with.
And you went to college at Harvard.
I did. I'm not trying to call them out like that.
No, not them, but, you know.
I did. And there are a bunch of guys who admittedly are light-skinned, and they're fine. They're cool with being defined as such, mm-hmm. Or defining their group as such, which I find objectionable, first off. And their thing was, listen, like, the first women we fell in love with while watching porn were white women. So it makes all the sense in the world that our wives are going to be all white. And that's how they roll. Dudes are light-skinned with white wives. And that's the justification for it. Now, it sounds funny. It sounds funny, but a lot of women meet their future husbands in college or hope that they will or whatever, or in that social circle somehow.
Right. I get that. I just didn't think guys, you know, fell in love with the porn star on the screen.
I mean, that's their justification for it. Oh, okay. Those are the first women we felt were hot. So these are the women that we feel are hot now. And so it's funny. You can dismiss it, whatever. But it presents an issue to those of us who are listening to it.
It's not being dismissed. It's a thing where I never heard of no shit like that.
It's happening. It's happening at all levels.
I mean, the first girls we fell in love with was on the block, was in fourth grade with us. You know what I'm saying? That started sprouting hips, and you're like, oh, shit, okay.
Yeah.
So that's how I saw it.
And this is the thing. They're cool with telling those stories to women who look nothing like that, too. So these are our friends, and you're telling me that I'm not sexy because that's not who you – and each to his own. But mm-hmm. when this becomes like a widespread thing, and you're hearing this not just from one or two people because we mm-hmm. each have our individual preferences, it becomes and also I'd like to state that I'm not against interracial anything at all. It just becomes problematic. Let me just put it that way.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all of your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free. Wix.com, Wix.com. Who's into the black?
The blacks?
Natural. Tall.
I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, I thought plenty of guys were. Shit. You know what I'm saying? In the world that I live in, it seemed like, you know, plenty of guys are into the natural, the you know, saying the beautiful black women. Maybe you gotta come to Brooklyn. But maybe not. I don't know.
You're seeing something I'm not seeing.
I mean, shit. I don't know.
Most of my friends are single.
I don't know what happens on the other side of the spectrum as far as when you in a relationship or how guys run a relationship or even what the dating scene is like. You know, I know being on the dating scene in a previous time, you know what I'm saying? When you're young, you're selfish. You know, it's, mm-hmm. ha-ha, what can I do today for me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was, you wasn't thinking about a overarching issue. It was, hey, what's up? How you doing? What can we get into?
And I don't want to suggest that men are not attracted to black women, because that's ridiculous. What I am saying is that when you get older, you start to look for different things. Mm-hmm. You're not you're not just hooking up. You're not sort of doing that immature stuff that people do anymore. And that's the expectation, right?
Right.
So when you look at who's getting locked down, and that's really what I'm talking about. And when you start locking people down at our age, it means usually something long term.
Right.
It tends not to be the people that I know. And so that's where we see the rub. So it's not just about like, oh, she's fine. She, you know, whatever. Cool. Like many, many men down to have sex with beautiful black women, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to add, well, let me just leave it at that. but what I will say is that at a certain point, your expectations change. And so we're looking around like, okay, so who is ready to lock this down? And I think this is why Beyoncé's Lemonade became such a huge phenomenon, because she spoke to just this very issue. And I never thought I'd be quoting Beyoncé songs, never, ever in my life. So, you know, I can't even now, I can't even remember Becky with the good hair at this point, right. But the point is that's become a tagline for this issue.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even she's talking about like fasting for 60 days because she wants to make herself more desirable for her man. And that's just outrageous.
That was the reason?
What'd you say?
That was the reason why she did that?
That was the theme of the song. So the song all the different things that she did to try to make herself more desirable.
Right, in the song, right.
Yeah, and so she couldn't even get to the point where she was any match for Becky with the good hair, and we're talking about Beyoncé, and it's just kind of like, that's what's happening. It really is, and I think that's why that whole thing struck such a huge chord.
So, the light skin exotical is.
And even more exotic than Beyoncé, by the way. So
right, I mean,
non-black.
Non-black, wavery. Okay.
And I'm not hating. I'm just saying.
I get it.
Let's just understand what's happening.
Do you think it's just the big cities?
It's possible. So it's possible that my perspective is a little bit warped. I tend to not think that, but it's possible.
And I know across the board, you know what I'm saying, even back in the day in the 80s, you know, even when it was black, light skin, green eyes, wavy hair was a thing. You know what I'm saying?
But I felt like there was still room for everyone. Like we were talking about, there was like a balance happening.
Yeah, because
it was more imbalanced.
I mean, when it's black, you know, it's a limit. You know, it's a finite number of light skin, green eyes, curly hair. So
I felt like I had male friends then who also like ran the spectrum equally.
Of course. Yeah. But when you look at the media, it was always the light skin.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Instagram and all this other, you know, internet did break down the walls. Everybody has access to look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the messaging across the board of people, the videos and who people choose, the casting of, you know, what they are making as the desirable archetype. What can we do?
Like I said, talk among your friends.
Me tell my friends.
Talk among your friends.
What should we talk about? I need some talking points so I can take some notes and shit, because I'm obviously out the loop.
Well, I mean, I think I would start with the most fuckboyish among them. And I'm sure you know who those are.
I don't have no fuckboy friends.
I don't believe you. And it's all relative. So fuckboyish, I say, okay. Meaning like whoever's on that side of the spectrum, because you don't mm-hmm. want to be preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step one. And then I think the question that my friend started with was an interesting one, which is, where did you first learn to be sexual or mm-hmm. to have sex? Because I think
that's a pretty weird question from man to man.
It's, you have to talk
dog,
about it.
Where you first learned how to have sex?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to do like weird eyes.
Well, you know what I'm saying and shit.
You can just be straightforward about it. These are conversations that mature people can have.
I don't think men are that invasive.
No, this is. I mean, you know, I think you are joking around with me, and to a degree, I think, but I think you're hitting on something that is probably really important as well, which is this kind of toxic masculinity that we deal with.
Yeah.
That somehow that stuff is not masculine.
Not that it's not masculine, it's just not comfortable.
Well, I think part of it is not comfortable because it's this idea that
the pause culture.
Yeah, there's an issue around masculinity, and somehow the gender stuff also gets confused with the sexuality stuff. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I'm not sure why, and we can talk about Thugger too if we want to start talking about that as well. And his album cover.
That's all the way on. That's all the way out there.
But the reaction to it has to do with this toxic masculinity thing that we're talking about. Mm. And it has to do with communication and how we communicate. And even this idea that, oh, every dude that I know has to approve of the chick that I'm trying to date. Like, why are you sending around pictures of the girl that you're trying to date for all your dudes' approval? Like, what is that about? So you need your friends to affirm your masculinity. You can't affirm your own masculinity, or you can't be affirmed in your relationship.
That's fuckboyish.
But it happens all the time, right?
After high school?
Men need, yes. Kanye needs approval of his woman. Like, men need approval of the woman that they date.
Right.
And I don't know if this is, you know, they need approval of how many children they've had. They need approval sort of even the gender of their children. Like, they're somehow more masculine if they've had more boys, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if this is an issue of not really having fathers around to teach you how to stand in your own masculinity.
Right.
And so you need the approval of other substitutes. But these are things that you would better be able to speak to, and these are things that you should address to your male friends.
Yeah, I guess so. I grew up with a single dad. Mm-hmm. So
totally different.
It was a totally different situation. You know what I mean? So all right, we're gonna put that on the list too. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna talk to fuckboys about sex and relationships that they grew up under. But I think a lot of times when you do talk about relationships that you grew up under, mm-hmm. now for me, something I could talk to is growing up with a single father, you don't really get an idea of what a love relationship looks like. You know what I'm saying? Inside your house. You know what I mean? So by, you know, 8 years old, my parents were divorced. So, you know, I didn't have a day-to-day, you know, he had friends and, you know, saying girlfriends and, you know, saying he didn't bring too many people home.
Which is good.
But it's bad when you don't never get to see it. You don't really understand how it works.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I learned how loving relationships work from talking to different girls. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
So you're on the phone and it's like, yeah, da 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 da, and you hear some parents in the background and you listening to what they saying, how they interact and how they interact with the kid, and you sitting there with no damn supervision. Like, that is interesting. You know what I'm saying? And so it's one particular family. I based a lot of what I do now off of this one particular family just from a girl that I was talking to.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And it was just kind of osmosis. Like, it wasn't like it was in my house. So I was like, oh, I'm going to take that. Oh, I like. And that family had four daughters. And I was just like, damn, how did they live with four daughters and manage that? And they all, you know, they all look good. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, he must have patience of Job. So you watch how he interacted and how they loved him, how they respect him. And that became the model. Like, okay, shit, I want my kids to treat me like that.
Okay.
So that's how I added shit to my little, you know what I'm saying? But inside my house, it wasn't there. And I think a lot of people grow up nowadays in houses where there's no love relationship, you know? It's go to work, come home, you know, get shit done. Maybe you have some boyfriends, girlfriends over here, or maybe they do have both parents there. And a lot of those times, you have both parents there and they're still going through something.
Well, I'd like you to ask your friends.
ask your friends.
I'd like you to ask them what kind of, you know, models for relationships they had in their houses growing up.
That's on the list.
Yeah.
What was the model? We're going to ask our listeners.
Okay.
What was the model of relationships that you grew up under? Now, this is deep. You know what I'm saying? We usually just fun and games up here. You know what I'm saying? It's real shit now. You know, y'all just.
It's important.
It's important. Let's have this discussion.
And I want to hear from the men in particular.
And if you don't want to put it in the comments, you know, you can send me the snap. You know what I'm saying? On the private link, you know what I'm saying? So everybody don't have to be in your business.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear.
But we really need the feedback in order for me to have a intelligent, you know what I'm saying, discourse about this.
So as far as toxic masculinity, you know what I'm talking about when I say this, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know. You had to break it down for me.
It's this idea that men feel that they have to behave a certain way to be defined as men.
Okay.
That it's not really an individual thing, that it's this kind of group think about what defines what defines men as men. And it's very almost kind of primal in a way.
I get it.
And I'm wondering, as a man, how you feel about that. So you were saying it's a little bit uncomfortable to ask another man about sex. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, why is it uncomfortable to ask another man about sex when you all talk about it all the time?
Like, we talk about fucking. We don't really talk about sex.
Right. You see the issue with that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Okay. I know. That's what I mean. I'm putting it out there. That's how it usually goes. When you're growing up, you have fuck stories. You don't have making love stories, sex stories, because of that, what you're talking about. The masculinity. So now when you come in, like, you know, you got, like I said before, you had this whole pause culture. You know, when we first started doing the podcast, it was always a pause moment. Like, hey, yo, pause. Because of the whole thing. It's like, you know, it's just something that you don't really talk about with other men. You don't have that model of communication. The model that was set up for us was, you know, was in very compartmentalized. It wasn't, you know, let's talk about everything and our feelings and all that shit. Like, feelings and emotions wasn't even part of the program.
So who do you talk about feelings and emotions with? Your girlfriends or?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, now, as a grown man, I could talk about anything with you know, my tier one friends.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Which is a very short group. Which, you know, I don't just, hey, guy, what's up? At the bar with some motherfucker you're talking about, you know what I'm saying? Shit. But as an adult, you know what I'm saying, I always had friends who I dealt with on more of a cerebral or spiritual level. Mm-hmm. And those types of people, you could talk about those kind of things because they're good stewards of your information.
Okay.
You know what I mean? A lot of times, a lot of people not good stewards of your information. And they hear some wild shit and they go, and then next thing you know, you know what I'm saying? That motherfucker over there.
That's true.
You know? So.
With women as well.
With women as well.
Right.
But I do have a close core that I can talk about different shit with.
Yeah.
Some more than others.
And that's important.
And, you know.
So I'd like you to pull your friends on that issue as well. Who do they have that they can talk to about issues other than fucking that involve sex? Do you mean around sex?
But you were talking about toxic masculinity.
Yes. Who can they be non-toxic with? Mm-hmm. So that's, I'd like you to encourage that conversation because that's important. Can you imagine not being able to have those kinds of conversations with someone?
And it's many people that don't have those conversations at all.
And that is a scary thing.
But everybody's not having layered conversations.
That's when you send a woman who's not at all interested in your dick a random dick pic. Well, you're not having
because
layered.
That conversation can happen any. That's like a unfiltered, just whatever internet shit. You could just do that.
It and speaks to a lack of sensitivity and social kind of
people are
ineptitude. Yeah, very disconnected.
They're very disconnected from real shit when you could just send some shit and then it just goes into the world and nothing. You know,
and
there's no repercussions to it.
Yeah, and that disconnect is really damaging to people. If you're only feeling disconnected communication throughout most of your day, there's nothing to feed your soul. You know what I mean? So people are just wandering around really empty.
But a thing that I see is that with, especially in New York, with so much going on, even before the internet stuff, just so much going on that you can fill your day up with shit. Just things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go here. I'm going to go to work. Then I'm going to go to this class. Then I'm going to go to that. And we're going to go to this cocktail circuit party. Then I'm going to go to the club. Then go to sleep. Go back. Start again. So where, you know, I always used to see people in relationships. Like I always tell, like, you know, women friends that in a relationship, it's very important to dig deeper than the surface. It's from... just how you telling me I should ask questions. I believe that in relationships, women should ask more questions, you know? And because through college, you could skirt through a whole relationship and talk about nothing.
Mm.
You could go from, hey, what you doing today? I ain't doing nothing, da-da-da, come through, right? And then you come through, then you might go to the movies. You don't have to talk in the movies. You know, you slide, get something to eat, come back home, do your business, and then you're gone. And you could do that semester after semester after semester. And you could know somebody but not know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You could slide through a relationship without ever having to say much about yourself at all.
I mean, I think people do that now.
They
adults.
Do that as yeah. adults, grown mm-hmm. people. There's people in marriages that don't crack the surface.
Because it becomes more about what this person can do for me and less about what this person is, who this person is, and a connection. So it's I mean, we're so driven by capitalism too, so that's another whole other subject. Yeah. But it's really like, what does this person look like? Is this is the woman, now it's about like, is the woman bringing money to the table,
right?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just don't think, I think there's a certain thing where you could consume so much that you don't have an interest in going a little deeper.
Right.
You know, nobody cares. Like, for me, a big thing, a big get over, like when you're just out there messing with women, da 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 da, doing your thing, a big get over was just being interested in the information. So, hey, what did you want to be when you was in the third grade? I wanted to be such and such. I forgot all about that. Da, da, da. Yes. And then you go deeper and investigate it, and then you end up into a whole nother world that nobody else is going to fuck with. And I think that people miss out a lot on their own relationships by just skirting by on the issues of the day and skirting by on surface shit.
You actually mentioned something really interesting, too, because I feel like a lot of dude feminists and actually a certain segment of the fuckboy population also get over on even just doing a little bit more than everyone else is doing. So
no,
that's part of their whole smoke and mirrors kind of thing that they do, which is, oh, let me say all the right things and really actually be interested in this woman, because I know that she'll respond almost like in a hyperbolic way because I know that she's not getting this from anybody else.
And that's a real thing.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying, you know.
But they also end up being that same dude at the end of the day.
No doubt.
A lot of them.
But see, the thing is that's when relationship and conversation has to be two-way. It has to be a conversation. You can't just let somebody dig all your information.
That's true.
It's in the pimp book. In the Iceberg Slim Pimp book, it says you have to get the life story up front, and you have to be a secret to them. You know what I'm saying? And when you're a secret to them, then they giving you all of this. You know all of this stuff. You know how to move them. You know how to move them in the right direction.
Interesting.
So it has to be two-way.
Okay, so women, it has to be two-way.
It has to be. You have to understand as much about them as they know about you or more.
Excellent. I've learned something here today.
Well, I'm glad we got to.
So I'd like to talk about something else, which I need you to put on your list as well.
Okay.
I know we're wrapping up soon, which is shocking to me.
It is shocking.
I'd like you to talk to your male friends about erectile dysfunction.
You're going deep. Hey, man, your dick get hard?
I'm not even joking, because this is also another issue that women are dealing with and talking about.
What's
so
that?
You might as well talk about it among yourselves, because we're talking about it.
Okay, what do you say about this?
As much as there are a gazillion dick pics floating around, Anthony Wiener's included, in real life, there are a bunch of very flaccid penises. And this is something that I'm not trying to make fun of. What I'm saying is it's also part of the issue. So it's
now always flaccid or becomes flaccid within a relationship?
Oh, I'm saying from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Like, you enticed me partially with your
good looks and charm.
Dick pic. And
now you actually had a dick pic person come to the table and couldn't get it out?
Yeah.
Shit.
Who even knows if it was their actual? I mean, these could be things, pictures from off the internet that people are sending around. You never know. So I'm not even joking when I say this. I'd like to know the phenomenon behind what seems like a rampant issue of erectile dysfunction in people that seem to be too young to have that be an issue.
Maybe it has something to do with the porn.
Right. Maybe it does. I'd like to get to the bottom of it.
Because, I mean, that's another thing with porn is like just the expectations of what sex is supposed to be based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, you know what I'm saying, a fake situation. Like you can't fucking, that's unsustainable.
I know.
So maybe it has something to do with that.
I think it has to do with a lot of things that we've talked about today, which is the porn issue, the communication issue.
Mm-hmm. But is broke dicks is rampant in guys that you're seeing nowadays?
Yes.
Shit.
And it's not even something that I feel, I would never want to be the person that really calls you out on that, because I know how scarring and damaging that is, which is why I'd like you to talk among yourselves.
But do they try?
Yeah. Or? And they pretend like it's actually not happening when it is. And you don't want to be
the
one
like. How
does that
even work? Like, how do you get there? And you,
just picture it.
Okay. I'm there. We doing our thing.
And maybe it's like, you know, maybe it's like a little bit there, but then it's not. And
all
then
the way.
Maybe it's back and forth and whatever. And then you act like it slipped out, but it's really just that it went.
Shrinking.
Right. So there's all that happening. And this happens in relationships. It happens maybe when you go out and get a little drunk, or maybe you're high or whatever you're doing.
But say you're in a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And things start off right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things working really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, does it break off?
I mean, I assume this happens in relationships, yes.
It had never happened in one of your relationships.
It has not, actually. Usually when it's broken from the beginning. So what has happened is sexual interest may wane here and there, and you go through periods and passages or whatever. But the whole flaccid penis thing is not really.
Are you like bullying these guys when you get in the room?
Why would
motherfucker,
I
motherfucker get it up?
I don't even talk about it when it's not, and again, because I don't want to be the person that.
But do you like make a long sigh?
Nope. Never. I've never embarrassed a dude about that, because I don't think it's worth. I don't
think
that's a thing
think
you
embarrass. You're embarrassing
them? Nope.
But just a little subtleties.
I'm extra sensitive. I want you to talk among yourselves. This is not something that women need
but
to talk
I
to about.
But I need the information, though. Shit, man.
No, I've never embarrassed.
I need
never,
some starter information.
I've never embarrassed or shamed a dude about this issue, because I don't believe that's what women should do.
Okay.
I think you should address it.
I should address it.
Yes.
Okay.
With your friends. Hey, put guys. That on the list.
Hey, guys. ED.
Yeah.
If you want to send me something about that on Snapchat, please, no pics. Please, okay? But we could talk about it, okay?
Yeah, I'd like to hear what everybody has to say for our information as women.
All right.
Because a lot of times we blame ourselves and we shouldn't.
No, I mean.
No.
No, 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 no. I'm not saying that you should blame yourself. That's not where I was going,
okay.
Felicia.
Okay.
Shit. I was going to ask, you know, really quickly, why would. Not, I can't say why would women blame themselves, but.
Because we think we're not sexy enough, because that's what we're getting reinforced everywhere else. We think we're not hot enough.
When the last time you felt hot enough?
Probably yesterday. No, shit. But. but I'm just saying, we're talking in general. And I think that's probably why, that we're not affirmed in other areas. And then when this happens, you're like, oh, damn, maybe I'm not hot enough. Maybe I'm not. And a lot of times the men will make that clear. Like, oh, you know, it's again, blaming us.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and do some investigative conversations in some very uncomfortable places. But we're going to do it and see what happens.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear
and
about
we'll,
it.
We'll follow up and, you know what I'm saying, if I get any information from guys, men, and fuckboys alike, then we'll have you back and we'll motherfucking bring the conversation to a higher plane.
Fantastic. I can't wait.
So let them know where you're going to be.
What is that? Is that some cue for social media?
Instagram. Where can they follow you? Where can they find you? I know you're at Those People in a few weeks, and you're going to be.
I don't know. Google me. Felicia Megan Gordon.
Felicia.
I'm all over the internet.
Megan Gordon. She's all over the internet.
Yeah, it's easy to find.
That's a good one. All right, y'all. I'm going to be at Thorough TV. Y'all can catch me on Snap, ThoroTV, Mr. Muhammad on Instagram. And until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even the enemy, to get in the conversation. We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out!